What is your purpose here upon the earth? Why are you here? Why do you go to school and you have to put up with all those people who give you a hard time about being a Christian? Why do you go to work and you're cheated out of a promotion? Why do you live in a neighborhood and your neighbors aren't even very nice to you, especially when you decline to go to the drinking party? Why is it? You're not the cool one at school all the time. Why is it when your parents may not even support you to be a Christian? They may even give you a hard time. Maybe you're the only person in your family who is a Christian. Why are you here upon the earth? We could answer that a number of ways, but the way I want to answer it this morning is because you are the light of the world. And I want you to think of the significance of that. I want you to think about the significance at school and at work and in your neighborhood and in your family and wherever you go and whatever you do, you are the light. You are the light. That is what we are and who we are as Christians. That's what we are about as Christians, to bring light into a dark and sinful world. Well, we want to do this the very best that we can. And how do we do this? I want to look at a few things with you this morning. Turn your Bibles with me over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. As we're going to look at some scriptures dealing with light this morning, in addition to a few other things. Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We are the light of the world because we live by God's light, the Word of God. And therefore, since we live by that light, it guides and directs our path. We use it to make the decisions we make in life. Therefore, we are a light to the world. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. How are we this spiritual light? We are this spiritual light by walking by the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Verses 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." We are the light of the world because we are walking in light. We obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ and with one another and with the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. We are no longer darkness, but we are light, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 2. As this light, walking in a dark and sinful world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. "Do all things without grumbling or complaining, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." How are you lights in the world? By living the way God wants us to live. Proving what is good and right in the Lord. Being blameless in the ways which you walk. Innocent, a child of God, above reproach. What does that mean, above reproach? You are living in such a way that others cannot even bring a sustainable charge of sin and wickedness regarding you. Does that mean you've never made a mistake? No, that doesn't mean you've never made a mistake. It means when you make your mistake, you correct your mistakes. And so no one can even bring a charge upon you that you are living in sin, because you're not. You're living in the light. And so you appear as a light in the world, doing what? Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Paul says, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now apply that to yourself. In the day of Christ, you glory because you've not run in vain. Yes, things have been hard. Yes, things have been difficult. Yes, you've had to put up with a lot. Yes, you've had to suffer and you've had to endure, but it's not been in vain. Because when Jesus Christ appears, you will appear with Him in glory. You are the light of the world. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As the light of the world, you can't act like the world. You're different than the world. And we'll talk about the significance of that just a little bit more as we go throughout the lesson, but we need to make this point that you are different from the world. If you were just like the world, you would be just like everybody else. You would be darkness just like everyone else. You would be living in sin just like everyone else, but that's not the case. Verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light and darkness? You see, these two are diametrically opposed. You cannot be light and darkness at the same time. You are one or the other. You are light. Therefore, you cannot have fellowship with darkness. Thinking of the young people in writing this lesson, you cannot act like the other people at school who are not Christians. You cannot participate in their deeds of evil. Those of you who are old enough to drive, you cannot get in your cars and go driving and go get somebody to buy you some beer and go drinking beer and getting drunk. That's darkness. You are not darkness. You are light. What else does it say? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Now indeed, there are some general human things in common, but when it comes to living right and doing the right things, what is there in common? One is in sin, one is not in sin. One is saved, one is lost, one's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the other has not. Verse 16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You are the light of the world. You are the temple of God. And in God there is no darkness. Therefore, in your life there cannot be darkness. Does that mean we never make a mistake? Well, yes, we make mistakes. Sometimes we make big mistakes. But we correct those mistakes and we make them right, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Back on the right path. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And so as the light of the world, we have come out from the midst of darkness. We no longer walk in darkness. We no longer walk the way those in darkness walk. We no longer participate in the deeds of darkness. We are the light of the world. Well, that's a little bit on the how. Now let's talk about the what just a little bit. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew 5, where we had our scripture reading this morning. Matthew chapter 5. What is it that we're doing? Jesus describes it like this. First of all, he describes it like a city that's set upon a hill. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And let me ask you, Is your light hidden? And if your light is hidden, is it truly light? A city that's set upon a hill cannot be hidden. It's not like you can put something over it and hide it. It's not like you can disguise it. It is what it is, and it is apparent to everyone. I think about the great city of Jerusalem that was built upon a hill. Jerusalem was a great city. The temple in Jerusalem was one of the great wonders of the world. The people there were not ashamed of the city. They were proud of the city, of who they were, what they were, the children of God. They didn't want to hide that city. They did not want to hide that temple. They did not want to hide who they were. And we as Christians, we are the light of the world, and we do not want to hide. But it's sort of human nature to hide, isn't it? We have to get over that. We do not want to hide, but rather as a great city upon a hill is offering refuge and peace from all of the dangers that exist, from robbers and criminals that are in the desert, from starvation, from dying of thirst, from death, from exposure to the elements. A great city upon the hill, fortified, is a place of rest and solitude. And as the temple of God, as His people, we are that place, the church. Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How does He give them rest? How does Jesus Christ give them rest? They become a Christian. They become the light of the world. They become this city that cannot be hidden. They become members of the household of God, the temple of God, and there is rest. Back in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, we are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. And verse 15, "And does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house?" I want you to think about this. You are not only like a city set upon a hill, but you are also like a lamp that is on a lampstand. And for the young people, I want you to see yourself at school. I want you to see yourself in your classroom. Perhaps you are the only Christian in that classroom. Well, let's at least pretend that way. And there is one lamp to give light in this classroom. And you are the lamp. So that everyone can see. And what is it that they are seeing? The textbook? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual light. They can see the difference in right and wrong. Now, they're practicing the wrong, but they can see what is right because they see your life. They see that you do not lie. They see that you do not cheat. They see that you are truthful. They see that you do the best that you can do. They see that you obey your teachers and your principal and the school rules. They see what it means to be a Christian. You are the light. And think about at your workplace. Perhaps you're the only Christian there. You are the only one living the right way, doing the right thing. You are the only one demonstrating what is right in your life. You are it. And now it's very easy for us to succumb to peer pressure. It's very easy for us to want to hide our light because we are different. We're not like everyone else in the classroom and at work, in the neighborhood. We are different. And so it's natural to want to hide this light and fit in and be like everyone else. But that is wrong. Because you are the light of the world. And so you are different. You're not like everyone else. participating in sin, participating in darkness. You are different. And what would the world be like if you were not in it? What would the world be like if there was no light? Physically, we would all die. The whole world would cease to exist. Spiritually, the world would die and would cease to exist. We sing a song sometimes, "You are the world's Bible." And that's what you are. People at home, they're not picking up their Bibles and studying their Bibles to understand the truth of God and apply that to their lives. As James says, they're forgetful hearers. They'll read it, they'll hear it, and they'll forget it, and they'll go on and participate in their sin. You are the world's Bible. You are the light of the world. You are the one making the difference in this life. Not those who are living in sin. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, "Now no one after lighting a lamp covers it up with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand." It's natural to want to succumb to peer pressure and hide our light. But Jesus teaches us to put it on a lampstand. And to do it the right way, as in Matthew chapter 5, as we read verses 14 through 16, "So that men glorify God." So it's on the lampstand the right way so that other people can see. Not so that they revile God. But so that they glorify God. And you know, the way we talk and interact with people can make the difference between them looking at the light and they glorify God and the light, or they disdain it. We went into a place the other day that was selling a new electronic gizmo. And I went in with a friend. I didn't care about looking at the electronic gizmo. Went in with a friend because a friend wanted to look at the new electronic gizmo. And I could have been persuaded that this was a pretty good thing. But once the store clerk understood that I really wasn't crazy about this gizmo, and he started giving me a hard time because what I did sort of like, I really didn't care to hear anything else he had to say. I just want to get out of there. Could I have been persuaded with the right attitude? Perhaps. At least to think about it a lot more. But I don't even want to think about it anymore. Because of that person's attitude toward me. And so, yes, we put this light up. Your light is visible. And it's got to be visible in the right way by living the way God teaches us and the way He instructs us to be salt. Speech seasoned with grace. Gracious speech. And so we must shine our light. That's what God wants us to do, is to put it out for all to see, and we're vulnerable and we're open to criticism because we're different. But you know, it's okay to be different. Jesus was different and they killed Him. The apostles were different, and we know of one that they killed. History told us that they killed all the rest of them except one. Cruel, harsh martyrdom because they were different, because they were a light. But that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to be a light and to shine our light and to be different. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul talks a little bit about this light. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 8. And again, I want you to think about this metaphor. I want you to be thinking in the classroom, at work, in the neighborhood, in your homes, I want you to be thinking about this. Speaking of the darkness, go up to verse 17. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the light, or your translation may say spirit, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, do not participate. To be light, we cannot participate. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about in your classroom, as others are trying to get you to dim your light or to hide your light or to take it off of the lampstand. But we cannot participate. We cannot dim that light. We cannot pull it off of the lampstand. We have to leave it bright. We cannot participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. That's what happens. Light dispels darkness. Have you ever been in a house at night? Maybe yours or somewhere else, or maybe you're in some other physical building, maybe at work, and you turn on the light, and if there are bugs there, what happens to the bugs? What do the bugs do? As quick as they can get away. They run and hide. Why? Because they don't like the light. They like darkness. And light dispels darkness. That's what we do as Christians. We are not like the darkness, but we are different and we dispel it. We shine light in the place where there is darkness. And so the Apostle Paul says, verse 12, we are to expose it, verse 11, verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. When a high school has a dance, do they turn off the lights or they leave the lights on? Unless things have changed recently, they leave them off. And why is that? A person owns a bar and it's the business hours. Does he turn off the lights or leave on the lights? Turns them off. Why? Boy and girl are on a date and doing some things they ought not to do. Are the lights on or off? Probably off. Why? Because they are doing things that are shameful. It's shameful to do the things that are done in high school dances. It's shameful for the boy and girl on the date to do the things they're doing with the lights being off. They're ashamed of it. That's why the lights are off. And the people sitting in a bar are doing things that are shameful, and they know it, and that's why the lights are off. Did you ever think about that? And we as Christians, we expose this as being for what it truly is. It's shameful. Because we will not even walk into one of those places. Because it's dark. And there's sin. It's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Let's look back at our songs here for just a second. I appreciate Chris leading number 453. He said, I'm not real sure about this. Well, I wasn't real sure about it either, Chris. I think you did a great job. You did a lot better job than I could do. But I think it was important for us to sing that song and the thoughts that are in this song as we talk about our lesson this morning. Because this is a song, Ye Are the Light of the World. Oh, Christian, do not hide your light. Now, really get this and soak it in and think back to the time when you shamefully, as I shamefully, put out my light for a while to be like everybody else. And that was wrong, and every person here has done it. Oh, Christian, do not hide your light. And let's be encouraged this morning. And let's be uplifted. Do not hide your light. For ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. Verse 2, go show to all the path of right. That is what you are doing. That is your purpose in life. You are showing the path. And if you don't, nobody's going to do it. Go bring the straying back to light, for ye are the light of the world. And I tell you what, we think about our friends and we think about our family. And there's only one way to get our friends and there's only one way to help our family get to heaven, and that is be a bright and shining light. And if we don't do that, we're going to fail. Oh, do not let your light burn low. Make it bright as it can be. But keep it bright and onward go. Turn your songbooks, if you're following along with me, to 237. That's the invitation song we're going to sing in just a few more minutes. But I want us to look at it for just a second. Don't get rid of your Bibles, by the way. We've got quite a bit more to go on the lesson, but this is just a little interlude here. Let the lower lights be burning. And I asked Chris to lead this song also, because I think this very much communicates what we're talking about here this morning. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. You are that lighthouse. And think about the lighthouse. As it's shining its light, there's a storm. In the midst of the storm, and people are struggling, and ships are sinking, and people are dying, and they need to see the way to safety and salvation. Think about your classroom. You are the one person sitting there to show them that way. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. You see, the church is the light. The temple of God is the light. You have the privilege of being one of those lights, and to you is given a responsibility. And that is the keeping of the light. To keep it burning and to keep it bright. Verse 3, trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor seaman tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Now think about this. In your classroom, in your place of work, in your family, in your neighborhood, there is probably someone there trying to learn about God because they want to go to heaven. You are the one light in your classroom. You are the one light at your work. You may be the one light in your family. If your light does not shine, that one person's lost because there's no one pointing the way. You see the importance of it. You are the light of the world. We can say a lot of things about your purpose, but perhaps more than any other, you are the light of the world. Now let's go back to our Bibles for just a moment. Let's talk about being alert for just a second. And again, I was sort of thinking about the young people of this lesson more than the older people, although it's applicable to everyone. But now with this part of it, being alert, I'm really thinking about the young people, but it's really applicable to all of us. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 3 and verse 20. John chapter 3 and verse 20. We need to understand that this is the way it works. This is the way God has set it up. There's no getting around it. Verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, if you've lived very long, especially if you've been in school, say more than maybe first or second grade, you know that this is how it works. You are the light. Those who are around you who are darkness, they hate what you are doing. And they may hate you for doing it. And they are going to do their best to get you to stop doing what you're doing and do what they are doing, which is sin. And they are going to try their hardest to do that. Sometimes we talk about counting the cost of being a Christian. To someone who wants to be a Christian, count the cost. This is part of the cost. As a Christian, you are light, and the darkness hates light. Those in darkness are going to hate what you're doing, and many of them are going to hate you for doing it. We need to know that right now. It's harder to be a Christian than it is to be a sinner. Because a sinner lives in darkness. Most people are in darkness. They're going to have a lot of friends in darkness. They're not going to be humiliated and discouraged and drugged down. Life's going to be good in that way of looking at it. They're going to do their best to drag you down and into darkness. Know that. Be aware of that. Sometimes we sing the song when we do the little, we call it Bible drill for the younger folks. And we sing the little song, "This Little Light of Mine." We may say, "This Little Christian Light of Mine." And we sing, "Don't Put It Under a Bushel." And we sing, "Don't Let Satan Blow It Out." And that's what the world is trying to do to your light. They're trying to put something over it so it can't be seen. And if possible, one better than that, blow it out so that you are lost like all the rest of them. Know that. That's going to happen. And it's going to happen the rest of your life. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Scriptures you know very well, but I want to review them. I want us to look at them. I want you to see them with your own eyes. Young folks, I hope you've got a Bible. I hope you're looking onto a Bible. I want you to see this with your very own eyes. Be reminded of it. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Are you on the alert? Do you know what the devil is doing? Do you know what he's trying to do in your life? Do you know what other people, as his servants, are trying to do to you in your life? Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, what is this saying in our context of our lesson? The devil is trying to sneak up on you without you knowing it and blow out your light before you even know what's going on. Prowling, sneaking, so that others do not know what's going on. A lion likes to sneak up on his prey and snatch it in his jaws before the prey even knows what's going on. And Peter says that he's roaring. This is totally different. You roar to let people know where you are and that you're big and you're bad and you're mean, and you try to scare them to death. Satan is not only trying to sneak up on you to blow out your light before you know what's happening. He's trying to scare you to death so that you blow it out, because you're afraid to stand up against darkness. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know I touched on this verse a little bit last week, but I think it's extremely applicable to what we're talking about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about false apostles. "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Angel of light. There are people in certain religions today who believe in angels and worship angels as being from God, as being light, as being goodness, as being holy, as being righteous. In this false religious worship, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Look at the next verse. "Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Now, what is this telling us? That there are going to be people in the world pretending to be good, wholesome, religious individuals who are going to try to trick you and deceive you into blowing out your light by turning away from God and practicing false religious doctrines. Be on the alert. Watch out. Keep your light bright. Do not be deceived or scared into blowing it out. Look back a couple of chapters to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. I want you to see what the devil is doing in this old world. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those in darkness. Verse 4, in whose case the god of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel. Satan and his tricks and his deceptions are very powerful in the world. And those who will allow themselves to be blinded by Satan, not to see the light of the gospel, will be blinded by him, not even to see the simple, basic truth of the gospel revealed within the Word of God. Now, what does that say about you and your light? They're not going to recognize your light for what it really is. They're not going to recognize your light that it is of the gospel as a child of God walking in darkness. They're not going to see that. They're not going to understand that that is the truth. They're not going to understand necessarily that they need to repent and be walking in the light as you are walking in the light. There will be some who see and understand because they go to the Word of God. But as Jesus tells us, few are going to find the difficult, straight gate. Most are going to take the easy way. Most are not going to understand who you truly are as God's light. One final point this morning, and maybe you've never thought about this, but if you'll turn it with me to Romans chapter 13, your light, walking in the light, God is light, the light of the gospel. It is your armor. You ever think about that? I'm in the light, walking in the light. It is my armor. Romans chapter 13 and beginning in verse 12. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Your life. Living according to the gospel of light, the Word of God, walking in light because God is light, it is your armor. It protects you. And we can talk about all sorts of things from that. But I want us to notice the immediate context here. Verses 13 and 14. So then Paul says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not as in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but, verse 14, look at it, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. This is why the light is our armor. When we put on Jesus Christ, we put on light because Jesus Christ is light and there is no darkness in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is our armor. It protects us from what? From the devil and his servants and from sin. Turn your Bibles with me one final scripture, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Think again about this metaphor of light. Think about your classroom, your place of work, perhaps your family, your neighborhood. You are the light. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. and he will flee from you. Your light protects you. As you submit to God and you brightly shine your light, you resist the devil, and he's going to move on and mess with somebody else. Let me tell you this. The brighter your light, the more effective your armor. Think about that. The brighter your light, the more effective your armor. The world would rather us think the other way, would they not? The opposite way, would they not? If you dim your light, you'll be a little cooler. Peer pressure won't be so bad. Things will be a lot easier on you. The dimmer it gets, the better life is going to get for you. But the truth is actually the opposite. The brighter your light, the better your life. Think about that. The brighter your light, the better your life. Well, we're going to extend the gospel invitation. Number 237. And in the singing of this song, please think about the importance of your light in this world and how important it is in your life. You don't need to think about somebody else's life. Think about it in your life and your particular situations, how important that is. Not only to yourself, not only to God, but to everyone who is around you. Think about that. And also as we sing this song, think about this. If you're not walking in the light today, if you're not a Christian, if you don't have all the blessings of God as a Christian, if you can't be helping others because you're not the light of God, think about becoming that light today by obeying Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. And just do so by obeying Jesus Christ, who just wants us to believe in Him. To repent of our sins, that's just a doing about face and quit going the way of sin, but go the way of God. To demonstrate your faith, confessing you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to obey Him by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And from that moment, walk in the light. We can help you this morning. Won't you step forward as we stand and sing?